Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jan Hook from PPS. Welcome to the conference call, where we are going to present and discuss the recent results by Cetin Group. During the call, you can follow a presentation that we are streaming on the link that you received as part of your connection instructions. The slides are also available for download on the website of Cetin Group, www.cetin.eu, in the investors section. Let me introduce today's speakers, who will be giving the presentation and who will be available to answer your questions after the presentation. It's Mr. Juraj Šedivý, the Chief Operating Officer of Cetin Group, and Mr. Filip Cába, the Chief Financial Officer of Cetin Group. The main part of today's presentation will be an update on the operating and financial performance, followed by a Q&A session to answer questions that you might have. And now I'm handing over to Juraj Šedivý to commence the presentation.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much, Jan. It's a pleasure to be on the call. Before we start with the actual results, let me briefly describe what, in broad terms, Cetin Group represents. We are the leading group of telecom infrastructure in Central and Eastern Europe. We operate in four countries: Czech Republic, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Serbia. We are a major national player in each of them. And it is important to understand that we are a wholesale provider of network services. That means that our customers are the leading commercial operators in each country, and we don't have direct relationships with millions of end retail customers. So we are effectively providing the infrastructure as a service. It is also important to mention that we operate a full stack of technologies, that is the passive infrastructure, radio access network, the aggregation network, long distance network, and in several countries also the core mobile network. So we are able to form the service, the ultimate service connectivity, and not rent or supply the bits and pieces of technologies or rent the space on the towers as the main business. That's in comparison with the classical towercos, who would operate only the passive piece of technology. In the Czech Republic, we own the country's largest fixed network. We are the former incumbent operator in the Czech Republic. And in other countries, we operate nationwide mobile network in all four countries for the leading operators in each country. That means all two in the Czech Republic and yet else in other countries. Those are formerly Telenors. Just briefly on the governance and the organizational structure. Organizational structure is arched by the Cetin Group NV, which is the consolidating entity of the group, whereas all network assets are owned by and the operations are performed by four operating subsidiaries, four operating units in each country, serving predominantly anchor tenants, but it is also important to say that we are opening the infrastructure to the third-party players, which was actually one of the rationales behind the structural separation from commercial operations. The majority shareholder of Cetin Group is PPS Telecom Group, which is a company which is consolidating also mobile operators, O2 and Etos, our anchor customers. And since March this year, we also have a minority shareholder. That's a Singapore-based sovereign investment fund, GIC, that owns 30% stake in Cetin Group. Related to the governance, the body is governed by boards of directors, which is headed by Jan Karaník. I am the only executive member of the board. The overall number of board member is seven. Four out of those are nominated by PPF. Two board members, Kamil Burgano and Mr. Andrew Dench, are nominated by GIC, and then there is one jointly nominated independent member of the board. It's Mr. Kaim Smith, who is the former Telefonica executive. The board is overseeing the operations and the strategy of the company, having all usual governance functions, including the committees, that's nomination and remuneration committee, then the related party transaction and the reserve matter committee, and also the audit committee. There's also one independent board observer, not voting member of the board, that's Ms. Alexandra Reich, who is a seasoned industry professional, and she is expressing her opinions, but again, does not have the right to vote. I'm on slide 7, and I would like to go to details, as Philip will be commenting on financial results in more detail. But briefly, revenues on a growth trajectory, almost 10% year-on-year. EBITDA after lease is also showing healthy and sustainable growth. And our capital investments are increasing significantly. That is in line with the investment cycle related mainly to the 5G and also to very ambitious FTTH rollout program, which I will report briefly in following slides. Back in April, we announced the Eurobond program and issued our first 5-year bond, and this was done in very turbulent, difficult period, besides COVID newly affected by the outbreak of the war in Ukraine, and the Setting Group has effectively reopened the market as the first private issuer from Central and Eastern Europe. So we consider that to be a success. Our major initiatives and for now and for foreseeable future are obviously, as the whole industry, as the 5G network rollout that's related to the new issuances of frequencies, new auctions, but also the availability of the full-blown 5G technologies. We are upgrading all mobile sites with new equipment. We are strengthening and modernizing the full stack of related network elements. That is in anticipation of increased traffic and demand on capacity related to the new applications on consumer, but also on the enterprise side. In the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Bulgaria, the 5G networks are already in commercial use. We are still rolling out. But there is also already a substantial coverage by 5G in all countries, including something what we call the C-band, the high frequency levels, which are allowing the utilization of the wireless networks also for fixed wireless access. We are upgrading the infrastructure in Serbia in the anticipation of the auctions and will be ready to move forward fast once the spectrum licenses are assigned to the operators, and we believe that will happen next year. In the Czech Republic, you may already know that we are operating the largest fixed access network. 3.9 million households passed by the recently modernized copper network, where the fiber optics is already drawn to the cabinet, so very close to the consumption points, and in 2020, we started a full FTTH program, so that's a fiber to the home, which is replacing the last mile or last hundreds of meters by the fiber optics that will allow faster speed. Our target is to deliver fiber broadband to approximately 1.3 million Czech households by 2030. We are on plan with the rollout, we almost doubled the number of home passed in operation over last year. If I move to slide 8, you see the quantitative expression, what I just mentioned. We'll end up the year, we'll give you this guidance as approximately slightly below 240,000 home passed covered by the full-blown fiber optics at FTTH. When it comes to the penetration of combined fiber to the cabinet and fiber to the home network, we are again on a growth trajectory, which we consider to be a success. So that's true that the tactics of modernizing the copper network and then starting immediately the rollout of FTTH is working, and we will be ending the year at approximately 1.05 million active customers. And that is related to the increase of speeds that is upper right part of the slide, which is illustrating how we managed to increase the applicable speeds for the end users from very low DSL technology based on the VDSL technology, and that represents the 70%, more than 70% of the lines which are now at 100 megabit per second speed and above. That is considered to be a very good market standards. Obviously, there are now household applications which will require higher speeds, and therefore we are very selectively picking and choosing the areas for the FTTH rollout in those areas where we believe there is a demand and also purchasing power to pay for the speeds of up to 5 megabit per second or 1 gig in the future. And again, the rollout is scheduled for several years. Let me, and I'm going to slide 9, spend a few minutes related to the topic which we consider very important, and that is, those are the main themes related to the sustainability framework that we have adopted throughout the group, and that's integrated to our vision and values. We really walk the talk here. I mean, it's obviously the focus of the management, but it permeates the whole company through different areas and activities. Us, or being the telecommunications provider operating the active equipment, obviously the one central environmental theme is energy utilization, energy use, efficient use, increasing renewable resources, and as a consequence, reducing greenhouse gases emissions in the process. Being again the telecommunications operator and facilitating the digital services and the communication, the assistance to the communities or the benefit to the communities in bridging the digital divide is one of the focuses on maximizing network coverage while enhancing the network reliability and security. Let me mention that this showed very visibly during the COVID time, and effectively the whole economy was dependent on the digital connectivity without being able to physically move or highly constrained physical moves. And the network showed its robustness, resilience, and without effectively any issues, we were able to carry the traffic with completely different traffic patterns and sharply increasing utilization of the data services. On a more fundamental level, this is supported by us actively raising the level of sustainability awareness throughout our workforce. So internal communication is very robust. We have a very wide governance and robust governance related to the sustainability agenda. And naturally, we are engaging the supply chain on issues such as climate change, health and safety, and business ethics. Obviously, we are highly dependent, specifically in cycles when we are renewing the technologies on the main suppliers, being the suppliers of the major technological tiers of the network, but also local workforce, which is helping us, the local sub-suppliers who are helping us to deploy the network, being it mobile network or fixed access network. Continuing with slide 9, let me give you some highlights related to the most important specific action plans that the group has underway. We went through the deep analysis and the explicit measurements of our greenhouse gas emissions, that means for all scopes, including the supply chain, scope 3, and we have a robust reporting process in place. And being part of the PPF Telecom group, PPF Telecom, the majority shareholder, has recently signed the Carbon Disclosure Project and set in its natural reporting part of their disclosures. Through PPF Telecom Group, we committed also to the science-based target initiatives. So within the next 12 to 24 months, we will prepare a comprehensive program for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, covering all applicable scopes. To give you just some examples of the initiatives we are progressing with, more than 65% of the energy that we are using in Serbia, for example, is already green. In the Czech Republic, we are piloting the use of solar power plants for mobile side. We are opening the project in Bulgaria related to the newly built solar power plant. And our advantage as a group is that the solutions developed and piloted in one operating entity, one subsidiary, can be later deployed across the whole group's footprint. So we are definitely sharing and making sure that whatever lessons learned we have in the individual countries or individual cases are then, if applicable, spread across the whole group. As mentioned, our major contribution to bridging the digital divide is is obviously the 5G rollout and the Czech fiber to the home program, which I already talked about. We are continuing with covering the white spaces, using also to some extent government subsidies, but making very well thought through a decision in terms of where we can actually help the local economies by providing them with the high-speed connectivity, specifically for the newly emerging digital branches of the economy. We measure ourselves also on specific improvement of the security and reliability of the network. That is, you know, the new imminent dimension emerging in many, many use cases for our technology, where the DDoS attacks and in malicious attacks by malicious players, even nation state sponsored players, are actually threatening the lifeline functions of the economies, the private individuals. The network has a very large attack service, so the attacks can come from different points, different angles, and we are just making sure that the network is physically and from cybersecurity perspective protected at the highest level. We are also differentiating the mission critical applications which are running on our network compared to the less critical applications, and really securing the top notch equipment and the processes to provide a safe and reliable and resilient connectivity. We are also proud of the track record we have in health and safety of our workforce. Obviously, very important element of what we do, where we are maintaining zero level of fatalities and injuries. We have robust measures in place to sustain it. We are upgrading that the internal policies based on the new technologies we are using, the new potential threats in this area. You will be able to find more details on all these aspects in our inaugural sustainability report, which will be soon published. I think that concludes my part of the presentation. Thank you very much for your attention, and I will now hand over to Filip to take you through the financial results.
Thank you, Jurai. I will continue on the page number 11 with the financial results of first half. Our domestic revenues, which represents mainly the infrastructure part of the business, grew by 4.2% in 2021, and we continued growing also in the first half of 2022, when we grew by almost 10%. The main driver of the growth was mobile business, but we also managed to grow our fixed broadband revenues in the Czech Republic. Let me please explain why we separate the transit from our domestic revenues. International voice transit business, which is just reselling of voice minutes mainly, is a completely separate activity from our infrastructure activities. It is low marginal business, neither CapEx nor OpEx demanding, and we believe that we give clear picture on all infrastructure activities without reporting it with transit. Moving to EBITDA, our EBITDA grew in 2021 by 4.2%, similarly as revenues, which was also driven by mobile business. And in the first half of 2022, we, despite the difficult situation in the market conditions, in a sense of price increases, we managed to grow the first half by 4.3%, and I will address the price increases later in the presentation. Moving to capital expenditure, our CapEx grew noticeably in 2021, reaching almost 300 million euros. The only driver behind the growth was the mobile network modernization roll program, which includes, as you right explained, also 5G and, when appropriate, also fixed wireless access rollout. We started this program in the end of 2020. Then we continued. The program was getting into speed over 2021. And now the program is in the full speed. So I'll preempt your possible question. On the CapEx, so we target our end-year CapEx between 370 and 390 million euros, thanks to this program. This CapEx evolution was expected and also embedded in our budget. Operational free cash flow basically mirrors our the evolution of the CapEx. So we dropped our operational free cash flow to 234 million in 2021, and we also expect a slight drop in 2022, keeping our conversion rate oscillating around 40%. Moving to the page number 12, I would like to pass here two messages. First one is about our EBITDA margin that I dare say is the best in class. On the left chart, you can see a comparison of, I would say, well-known infrastructure brands with us, and you can see that we did really well in the end in 2021 as our EBITDA margin reached 65%. The second message is about our operational expenditures. We recognize four key OPEX buckets: rentals, personal utilities, and network and IT maintenance. Starting from the bottom with rentals, actually it looks that we dropped our rentals, but this is thanks to an accounting corrections. In reality, we slightly grew, but within the range, I would say, we slightly grew our rentals thanks to the two things. First, we continuously densify our network so that we provide with our customers with best-in-class networks, which definitely brings more rental contracts. And also in certain parts of our contracts, we have inflation clauses. So this drives also the costs up. We grew also cost of personnel, but given the situation in the market, I believe we grew reasonably. We increased the salaries as we reacted to the situation. We increased the salaries to especially to our technician, to our technicians, to the field people, so that we are able to deliver our projects in time and the requested quality. Our utilities, cost of utilities grew noticeably, reaching 43 million in the first half. Again, this is the number that was predicted and known before the start of the year by the management and also by the shareholders, because we more than 90% of the consumption of 2022 we already hedged in 2021, but obviously the prices of 2022 were higher than those of 2021. So behind the increases, the price increase. And the network network and IT maintenance, we grew reasonably as well. In the part of network and IT maintenance, when we have contracts with our key technology vendors, we remain stable, but in the areas of IT and field maintenance, where the majority of cost is driven by labor costs, we also had to react to the situation in the market and increase the prices so that we keep the best portfolio of our suppliers. But one, I would like to highlight one very important thing in here, because the majority of these costs is driven by mobile networks for delivery of our mobile services, which we deliver through mobile service agreements that we have signed with our anchor customers. And these mobile service agreements protect us against inflation, against energy price increases, and against FX rate movements. So majority of these price increases then we will see also in our revenues. Moving to the page number 13, where is more detail on our CapEx evolution. I have already mentioned the key drivers of the CapEx increase, which comes from mobile. A couple of words about fixed. We finish in 2021 fiber to the cabinet roll program, where we upgraded our existing networks, and since then we solely focus on FTTH or fiber to the home roll program that drives also our cost. I wouldn't say high, but reasonably as you can see, stable going forward. One important thing I would like to mention, which is related to mobile capital expenditure, that explains very well our sort of business model, is that we recognize two categories of mobile capex. The first one is so-called base capex. Base capex that is covered by a 10-year flat fee within our mobile service agreements. And basically, this flat fee covers the service on as-is basis, as it was at the date of signature. And for delivering of such a service within 10 years, we need to we need to spend, or we need to spend certain maintenance capex and also certain basic transport capex. The second part of our capex is called incremental capex. This is in terms of volume higher than the base capex. And this incremental capex covers all the growth initiatives, meaning network expansions, 5G rollouts, new sites, new upgrades, modernization of the networks in Hungary, Serbia, and Bulgaria, simply everything what is new in our mobile networks. As I said, this incremental capex is higher. And then this capex is translated into our revenues through annuities, which use contractually fixed discount rates for the hold period of 10 years. And all the costs related to this incremental capex, including these annuities, then are marked up by contractually given markup. So basically it means that more capex we spend, more margins and more revenues we make. So we are happy to spend this capex. So in this this concept, together with the protections I've mentioned in the previous slide, makes our cash flows highly visible and predictable. So if we can move to the page number 14. Here a couple of words on our financial policy, how we are basically are going to allocate our free funds. First priority, or priority number one for us, is capex financing, so that we secure our future revenues and cash flows. Priority number two, we need to maintain our leverage below 3x the leverage on net debt to EBITDA after leases basis. Temporarily, we can increase the leverage to 3.5x in a case of an add-on acquisition, but we need to deleverage back in 2 years, back to 3x. And priority number three is the distribution of our profit. So we are going to distribute up to 100% of levered free cash flow, subject to keeping our net leverage below 3x. On the right-hand side, we can look on at our current debt maturity profile. I'm not going to say more than you can see in the picture. We issued two bonds, the first due in the end of 2023 of approximate value 200 million, and the second, as you already mentioned, of 500 million that is due in 2027. We have two term loans in total of 955 million, which we would like to midterm refinance in the bond markets, preferably long-term, with long-term maturities, but all is definitely subject to market conditions. And we have also one 200 million revolving credit facility that we keep for operational purposes to be able to react quickly on the situation when needed, but this is currently undrawn. So that would be it from the financial part as well as from the presentation itself. So if you have any questions, we are ready to answer them.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of the company presentation, and we are now ready for your questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If for any reason you would like to remove that question, please press star followed by two. As a reminder, if you are using a headset, please pick up your handset before asking your question. As a final reminder, it is star followed by one to register a question. We have our first question. It comes from the line of Jeffrey Chu from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, yes, good afternoon. So you've already touched on the drivers of the higher utility cost, but I was just wondering, so you've mentioned that the energy cost in this year has mostly been hedged last year. So why is that? Why are we still seeing such a big increase? And also, you also mentioned that this cost, energy cost increase will be reflected in higher revenues. But is that also the case where you own the active equipment? Thank you.
Okay, so first part, thank you for the question. First part related to hedging. Obviously, we hedged the prices, but I don't know if you remember the situation in 2021, how the price of futures developed. So basically the price grew since, I would say, like half of the year. So basically we do, as many companies do, we hedge partially something, you know, in the first half of the year, something in the second half of the year. So even though we hedged everything, so obviously the prices as the evolution of the futures was increasing. So the final prices, hedged prices for 2022 were higher than those we hedged in 2020 for 2021. So because simply the prices of the futures in 2021 grew. And the second part of the question was if it is related the reflection in our revenues of utilities costs, if it is reflected also to our active equipment. The answer is yes. We provide COMCOS with a complete service of not passive or active equipment. We provide them with a full service of mobile delivery, which includes not just these, I would say, technology elements, but also all the services around, like including engineering, planning, field maintenance, and others. So we provide a complete service, and within that, obviously, the consumption of active equipment also is included. So overall energy is then, the increase is passed through to COMCOS, the increase of the price.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. The next question today comes from the line of Jonas Kilstrom from Schroders. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can I just please ask, what's the impact, if any, of the remedies that were approved by the EC earlier this year? Thank you. Sorry, can you hear me now? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Jonas, we can hear you.
Okay, excellent, thank you. Sorry, just wanted to ask, what's the impact, if any, of the remedies that were approved by the EC earlier this year? Thank you.
Yeah, the outcome is very positive for us, actually. It confirmed what we believed in, that the passive and active sharing, to a large extent, is not causing the competitive disadvantage to any operator or unfair competitive advantage. So the remedies are of technical nature, which we will comply with, but without any major impact on the economics of either network rollout or the utilization of the network itself.
Thank you. So,
thank you. As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions registered, so I'd like to pass back for closing remarks. Please go ahead.
This is Jan Hook again from PPF. Thank you all for attending today's call. If you still have any follow-up questions, you are welcome to contact our investor relations, and we will be happy to oblige. And now, on behalf of the company, I would like to terminate today's call. Thank you. Goodbye.